Welcome to Bible Talk. It's a podcast where we read the Bible.
And then we're going to talk about it because it's a podcast for everyday people like me and you who are just trying to figure out how to use the Bible and, you know, have an impact on our lives with the Word of God. And what are we supposed to do with it? Matthew 4, starting in verse 1, under the subtitle, Jesus Tested in the Wilderness.
Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry.
Understatement.
Oh my goodness. The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone.
Hey, here, by the way, we see the tempter quoting scripture.
What?
Yeah. He, too, realizes that scripture validates things.
Correct.
Now he's going to try to misuse them.
Right.
Scriptures can be misused.
Hello.
Yeah.
Yeah, just deep dive into that. Okay, verse 7, Jesus answered him, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God, and serve him only. Then the devil left him, and the angels came and attended him.
All right. So this is one of those stories in Scripture that seems so fantastic that it makes you wonder, did this really happen, or was this just a metaphor? Can someone actually fast for 40 days?
Right.
If so, was he fasting from food, or what was he fasting from?
Right.
Was he just abstaining? Like, how does this even work? What are the logistics to it?
Right.
All outside the depth of this particular podcast. But yes, people can physiologically, you can fast for 40 days.
Correct.
It could kill you in the process.
Gandhi did, I believe, didn't he?
I don't know if he ever made it to 40, but there was a guy named Bobby Sands who was on a hunger fast. This is back in the 1980s in Ireland. And he fasted to death, and I think he made it into the 40s in terms of number of days that he had gone without food. But long story short, Jesus's fast, let's not question it. Let's just say he fasted for 40 days.
And he was hungry.
He's out tempted. Right. And this first temptation addresses that hunger.
Right.
In verse 4, right?
Mm-hmm.
Verse 3, rather. Hey, you're so hungry. Just tell one of these stones to become bread and eat it. Now, would there be anything wrong with Jesus taking a stone and making it bread and breaking his fast?
If it wasn't suggested by Satan, no.
It wouldn't necessarily be wrong.
Right.
But the fact that he would be doing it at the prompt of his adversary or at the prompt of his tempter as a way to say, hey, look, what you need for sustenance, you can get it yourself. And Jesus' response here is just gold.
Yeah.
It's absolute gold for us in the modern times.
Correct.
A quotation from Deuteronomy chapter 8. Person does not live on bread alone,
but on every word that comes from the mouth of God.
All right, so a person needs bread or food to survive, have to have it.
Right.
So to place the word of God on par with bread is significant.
Right.
Because it states that one's spiritual survival is linked with an intake of God's word.
Mm-hmm.
Just like you need food for your body to survive, you need the word of God for your spirit, for your soul, for your spiritual health to survive.
Right.
Not reading the Bible is, it's not just sinful. Matter of fact, I'm not even sure it's overtly sinful. It's just foolish.
Correct. Yeah.
Because when you have the scriptures available to you the way that we do now, you can listen to them
on
your phone. Your phone will read the scriptures to you. You can listen to a podcast like this or like the myriad of others. Depending on how deep you want to go and what you want to, you know, get into studying, there are so many ways to consume the word and to read the word. And for us to pack the 1,440 minutes that exist within our day with so many other things and not leave a portion, 20 minutes. Still got 1,420 minutes to do whatever you want. But to take 20 minutes and feed yourself the Word of God is so important. It is. Jesus links it here with your spiritual survival.
So at the first reading of this passage, I remember, like, even when I was a younger Christian, just marveling, first of all, at the fact that Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit to a place of temptation. And I think that honestly that...
Yeah, so she's
became,
referring to verse 1 there.
Yeah.
The Spirit led Jesus into the desert to be tempted.
Like, the purpose of it was for him to be tempted. And I, you know, I think a lot of times people will... I have felt as though people have minimized... In my journey spiritually, I've not resorted to questioning or cursing God because I'm in a situation that's difficult. And I will tell you that it's because of this passage.
Okay.
Because if Jesus, God incarnate, allowed himself to be led by the Spirit into difficulty.
For the purpose of difficulty.
For the purpose of difficulty that was going to somehow equip him for the next thing. Who am I, okay, a mortal who's just lucky to be at the show, right? I stumbled on the golden ticket, and I'm so grateful for that. But who am I to question why I'm going through this difficult thing? And obviously, it's not that I don't have those thoughts, but it always calls me back to this moment and think, what greatness is God trying to prepare my character for?
It's our nature to assume that bad things aren't supposed to be happening.
Right.
And to try to escape those at
first
opportunity.
Discomfort, gone. I don't want
it. It's got to go as soon as it can go.
Right.
But that's not always the right assumption.
No. I mean, to me, I feel like God has trained me through difficulties to lean into and ask him, not ask myself. The answers aren't with me, but ask him, what is it that you're preparing me for? And if I don't get an answer, then I keep leaning, you know? And if weeping or counseling or confession and openness and prayer and fasting are all a part of that, but who am I to question the Spirit if I'm led into a place of wilderness, you know? So anyway, I just wanted to say that because this scripture, I think, has helped me to overcome, and maybe not even overcome is the right word, but to endure.
Yeah.
Difficult times, because Jesus submitted himself for the same reason. The Spirit had a purpose for it.
And then so the second temptation has to do with, you know, jump down. Scriptures say God will catch you.
Right, yeah.
Jesus says, hey, you don't put God to the test.
He's
saying,
look,
I don't expect God to build his plan around my choices.
Mm-hmm.
I expect the other way around.
Correct.
I expect my choices to be built around God's plan. So I don't put myself first and tell God to respond. And I think that's super useful for us in modern times.
Oh, it is.
And will always be.
Allow God to lift you up.
God
you don't
leads
lift yourself
you.
Up.
You don't leave God.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, whether it's trying to shoehorn the will of God into a plan that we have for our own lives, which we're all guilty of doing.
Oh, my gosh. Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Or whatever else. Jesus sets a great example for us here. And then the third temptation has to do with, you know, power.
Yes.
Power is intoxicating.
It really
authority,
is.
Influence, in this time now of being social media influencers. Everyone would like to go viral for the reason.
Right, yeah.
Right, for the right reason. When you can have that much influence, it speaks to you and says, boy, you're significant. Boy, you're important, because look at how many people are
right.
liking your post or who are following you.
Right.
And it makes you feel a certain way. And so, you know, Jesus is given this opportunity to be the influencer.
Right.
And his response is, you know, that's for God. You worship the Lord, your God, and serve him only. That is not really why I'm here. Jesus, though God in the flesh, his goal wasn't to get a bunch of worshipers. His goal was to reconcile people to God. That was his
right.
job. His role was reconcile people, get them the forgiveness of their sins so they could be reunited with God. God is the influencer. God is the one they worship. God
right.
is the one who's important. Okay.
And, you know, I think part of it too, in this passage, Jesus was king. He was the newborn king, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And here you've got Satan, the part that I think is just hilarious. He takes him to this mountain and he's like, I'll give all of this to you. What? You mean the thing that God created?
I
spoke into existence when I was with God at the very beginning?
Right.
Not impressed, first of all. But I do think it's really more about, I will take, really, you allow me to do this, but I will take my foot off your throat if you just bow down to me. I'll make it easy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think things being easy is such a temptation. Yeah.
Absolutely. So it continues then after Satan's like, all right, I give up.
All right.
He's solid. I can't beat him. And he flees. Verse 12.
When Jesus heard that John had been put into prison, he returned to Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way to the sea along the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near.
So here for the fifth time, by my count so far in the book of Matthew, sixth time,
mm-hmm.
He's making a reference to the Old Testament and to the prophets that validates Jesus is that Messiah.
Yeah.
Here's another Easter egg, as the kids would like to refer to it these
right.
days. You know, in this moment here, Jesus is following up upon what John the Baptist had gotten started a chapter earlier. We read about John baptizing and calling people to repentance. And in verse 12 that we just read, it says John, that same John the Baptist, had been put in prison. And so Jesus is now taking it upon himself to get out and proclaim word for word, pretty much the same thing
Correct.
That John the Baptist had proclaimed. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near.
So near. I'm ushering it in.
Yeah. All right. Verse 18. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was also called Peter, and his brother Andrew. And they were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. They were working. That's what they did. Verse 19, it says, come follow me, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on a little further, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee preparing their nets, and Jesus called them. And immediately they left the boat and their father, and they followed him. So two important interactions here. What are we looking at, Ivy?
You know, I think the thing that's striking me right now as we're reading this is, well, huge paradigm shifts. The very last one that we read about leaving Zebedee in the boat.
That's their father, yeah.
Right. I mean, they're leaving their vocation. This is how I make my living. This mm-hmm. I'm not like, oh, I'm out fishing. Let's crack back a couple of whatever it was that they drank back then. You know, this was not leisure. This is how we care for ourselves in a scarcity, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then the other part of it, Jesus is almost, he's shifting the paradigm of what it really means to be a follower of God. There are going to be things that we're called to that will make no sense, absolutely no sense, that they would leave their father in the boat, leave their vocation. These are radical, radical shifts.
And leave it for what?
To follow what at first glance just looks like this itinerant, you know, wandering preacher, you know, who doesn't seem to have any formal training necessarily outside of, you know, the temple resources that nearly every young man gets, you know, but they all knew it was more than that.
Right.
Clearly, they wouldn't have walked away from their vocation and from a history of fishing with their father, you know.
And in the midst of following Jesus, he tells them in verse 19, rather than fishing as you do now, I'm going to, in following me, I'm going to give you this calling to fish for people.
Right.
Disciples or followers of Jesus are as part of the deal, as part of the agreement. I'm not just following, I'm following with a purpose. And that purpose is to help others, to catch others, to reconcile others, to be used by God in some way, even in our own imperfections, as a lure of some kind, as a net of some kind, to draw people back to God.
Correct.
Making disciples is part of being disciples. And there's really no way around that. Okay, so then we'll close out the chapter here, starting in verse 23.
Okay. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed him.
To put a quick, you know, bow on things, Jesus went on from this point throughout the region doing amazing things.
Yeah.
He taught. There was a teaching aspect of his ministry in the synagogues. There was a preaching or a proclaiming, a prophesying in essence of, hey, good news, the kingdom is here. Good news, the kingdom is here. So that's another aspect of his ministry. And then a third aspect is this healing of people, meeting people's physical and felt needs. So these three, you know, prongs in the fork of Jesus's ministry. I don't know, for followers of Jesus, it seems like these same three prongs should be present in our,
own lives,
in our ministry as we follow him.
Absolutely.
Help people with their needs, proclaim the kingdom,
the gospel of the kingdom, right?
And, you know, teach.
Absolutely. And obviously, because this is an everyday podcast, we're not diving into, you know, theologically speaking, what the kingdom is all about. But I would encourage our listeners, if you want to dive into something a lot deeper, do that, because it's absolutely amazing.
And so these four chapters are our introduction to Jesus and how he got started and a little bit of how he gathered a following.
Right.
And then what's going to happen in the next three chapters is what's been called the Sermon on the Mount or the Beatitudes.
Right.
And it's a lot of, if you got one of those, you know, Bibles where Jesus's words are in red letters, a lot of red letters.
A lot of red letters
over
going
chapters
on.
5, 6, 7, and 8. So the next four chapters, actually.
It's exciting stuff. Thanks so much for listening in. And as always, we like to give you a little reminder.
Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, but do what it says.
Thank you.